It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. If you are enjoying this show, and I know a lot of you have because we've been getting some great feedback sent directly to us, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. So if it's on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, any of those places where you find this show, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review, tell us what you think about the show, what you'd like to see changed about the show, any future topics. We will take any kind of feedback that you're willing to give. Also wanted to let you know about a new feature that we're going to be doing on the show coming up, starting with our next episode. We want to hear from you. We want to know what types of questions you want answered. So at the end of each interview, we're going to be doing a kind of a Q&A session. So if you have any questions related to staffing, related to managing a staffing firm or marketing a staffing firm or selling for a staffing firm, please shoot us an email. You can send it directly to me, Todd@HaleyMarketing.com. It's H-A-L-E-Y marketing.com. And we'll be sure to get those onto future episodes. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the vice president of the Kinsa Group, a food and beverage recruiting firm in Wisconsin. She's Lori Heilberg. Lori, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as we like to do, let's start off by having you give us your 60-second elevator pitch for Kinsa Group.
Well, wonderful. Yes, Kinsa, as you mentioned, we are national recruiters for the food and beverage industry, and we've been recruiting specifically in this niche space for over 33 years, and we help food and beverage companies hire talent for management, director, VP, and C-suite type positions across a variety of disciplines like sales and marketing to their plant operations, food safety, which is really critical these days, new product development, and supply chain and purchasing roles. So most of our clients are mid-sized food and beverage companies where they don't really have an in-house recruiting team that can handle the level of position that they're recruiting for. And we have a team of in-house recruiters here at Kinsa in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where we're set up to do that.
And I'm always interested in how people got their start in the staffing industry. I know you've spent most of your professional career in the staffing industry. And how did you kind of, did you stumble into it like most people did?
I actually literally stumbled into it. I started my career out of college in a Chicago suburb working in a human resources department where I was slightly exposed to the staffing industry, unbeknownst to me. Back in the late 90s, I had applied to a couple of positions in a newspaper ad, and I kept running into it being a generic kind of ad, and I ended up interviewing at a staffing company. And after doing this three times, I asked them, what is it, how am I getting, you know, with you instead of, you know, an employer? And then I realized what the staffing industry was and what they were trying to do. So I actually got placed in my first HR position out of college by a staffing firm. And then about a year later, my company was doing some downsizing. And so I was driving around in a business park in Wisconsin, dropping off paper resumes at companies that looked like they could use someone with my skills based on the size of the building. And I ran into a recruiting firm, and I told them I was familiar with recruiting because I had been placed by a recruiting firm in my first job. And then as a human resources professional at that job, I had used a couple of recruiting firms to help fill some positions we were recruiting for. And 2 weeks later, I was working there.
It sounds like a very similar story to most people that we talk to here. Nobody ever comes right out of college and says, I want to work for a staffing firm. Everybody just kind of accidentally gets into it. It's funny.
Yeah. And the gentleman who owned and operated Kinsa Group at that time had established Kinsa in the food industry because he had been a director of HR for a couple of different food companies and noticed that there just wasn't a one firm he could use back in the mid-80s that knew all the talent in the food and beverage space. He worked for a dairy company and a meat company. And so he recognized the need and had started a firm. And so I had a great mentor specifically in my niche as well.
I know one of the things that set you guys apart is that idea, as you refer to it, as the ideal candidate for your clients. What, take us through kind of what the process is for finding that ideal candidate for your clients.
Yeah, so we developed a six-step recruiting process years ago, and put it down in writing to identify what our clients are looking for at the very outset with our account management team. And then we add our recruiting team to that to go out and source that candidate and recruit them with all of the details about the career opportunity we're recruiting for and the company that they would come to work for to spark their interest in this particular role. And then kind of continuing to go back over those details with the candidates and with our client companies throughout the evaluation process and interviewing process to make sure nobody's changed their mind on what, why they were looking, what they were looking for, so that in the end, we have two happy parties when we're ready to talk about making an offer. So our process sets us up for doing this well. And part of, you know, finding that ideal candidate is asking the right questions up front. And we have erred on this and had learning experiences to perfect it over the last 19 years that I've been recruiting at Kinsa. And so what was a, you know, interview questionnaire back in 1999 when I joined the company and what it looks like today is different, but it's still constantly trying to get at all those questions that, that we can ask to make sure that it's the ideal match for both our talented candidates that we're recruiting and the employers that are hiring. Part of the thing with our industry specific niche, we don't have to ask our clients a lot of questions about what they do in their operating facilities and what does a food safety manager do there. We know when they say they're looking for a quality assurance person, it has to be someone from a like product so that they're familiar with the government regulations that are surrounding the food safety of their production of their product. And it can't be someone that's in total quality management from, say, an automotive company. Those skills don't transfer well. So part of that is just the knowledge base of our recruiters always working in this space. They have a baseline of what a must-have candidate is, and then taking that to the next level of being an ideal candidate.
Huh. You know, on just about every one of these episodes, the topic of finding candidates has come up. It's obviously a big issue right now. But I wanted to ask you about one group in particular, and that's millennials. And, you know, I think it's a group that can sometimes be unfairly stereotyped. But, you know, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced in recruiting millennials, and maybe what have been some of the successes you've had with the millennial generation?
Yeah, this is an ongoing conversation for our recruiters of how to find them at the right point in their career when they are ready to consider making a job change and when they have gained some knowledge and experience in the food industry so that our clients are able to hire them. Because most of the people we're recruiting for have probably 5 years to 25 years of experience. So now that's a lot of millennial generation candidates. You know, if they started their career in 2002 or 2003 at the very earliest millennial aged people, they're right in the peak of what our clients are looking for as far as the years of experience in the food industry and in, you know, plant management or product development. They're probably at the right phase in their career where they're starting to look at leadership positions and senior leadership positions in some cases. So we're really targeting millennials, and it is still a bit evasive on how to best do that. We have to change our methods of communication to reach them. When I started recruiting in this space, you know, almost 20 years ago, you know, I had a phone call list and I just called everybody on the list That doesn't work today. People don't answer their phones if they don't recognize your phone number, nor are they as receptive to a cold call from a stranger, even if it is to offer them a new job. They may not want a new job right now. So we have had to use a multi-pronged approach to reach out to millennials, both by noticing on their primarily we use LinkedIn for sourcing talent for our clients because usually they have a professional profile out there. We can tell if they're in our food and beverage space and what they're doing. We like to connect the dots on, did they go to school in an area where our client is operating? Do they have the kind of a background experience with the competitors of our client that would set them up well for success and connect the dots for them when we're recruiting? So having a little bit more information about them up front helps us to target them and recruit them more appropriately for positions they might be interested in. So that's one approach we've been successful at with recruiting millennials.
And I know your recruiters are very active on social media, and you mentioned LinkedIn, but what are some of the ways that your team uses social media to recruit, you know, not just for millennials, but for anybody in the food and beverage industry?
Right. So we do keep a presence on multiple social media sites for group as a company. So LinkedIn, we have a company page. We actually have a group page for our networking with Kinsta Group recruiters as well. But as we measure the connections and members of those groups and company followers, it is minute compared to the individual connections and followings that our recruiting team members have. So we know that keeping a company presence on pages like LinkedIn and Facebook, where we're sharing blog posts and job opening information, and Twitter, kind of tweeting out what our hot jobs of the week are, we keep that presence, but we do know our direct interaction with one of the recruiting team members here is our best way of getting talent to interact with us before they, you know, become a part of our in-house database network of professionals that we reach out to. So we message them on LinkedIn. We find their profile and call them from it. If we can find their contact information elsewhere, you know, we really use that as a one-on-one resource. Each recruiter does.
On the other side of things, you know, finding clients that would be a good match for you, you know, what's would you say over the past couple of years has been your best tactic for finding some new sales leads?
Well, I would say we like to get involved with a number of industry organizations related to the food and beverage space to keep our name out there in the marketplace that's specific and unique to us. So we attend the trade shows that our clients are attending. Oftentimes, we don't have a booth at some of those events. You know, if you consider a typical trade show where, you know, you have a 10 by 10 booth with your backdrop, we do that once in a while in certain spaces, but a lot of the times our clients are the ones having a booth and being present to meet with customers. So we want to go and meet the people who have booths. So we're often at the trade shows related to the food industry, whether it's, a food service event like the National Restaurant Association or the Institute of Food Technologists, where a lot of food scientists come together annually to talk about new products and new ingredients and regulations regarding new food products. There's a number of others that we participate with on more of a social aspect or as a career guidance expert, like Food Executive Women and the Women's Food Service Forum and Food and Beverage Wisconsin and Chicagoland Food and Beverage Network, just to name a few of the ones that we are a part of on as a industry kind of market expert.
Yeah, and I know you're very involved just personally in the professional development of women in the food and beverage industry.
Right.
Tell us about some of the things that you do to help in that area and why that's so important for you to give back like that.
Yeah, so I relate this back to when I was in my undergraduate program. I was a psychology major, but on the research side. And then I had a management and a marketing business concentration for that. So I was really interested in what careers are great for women and which ones are, is it frowned upon for women to get into? And so I did some research and I did some polling, back when I was in school and had my whole thesis about this. And then I stumble into the recruiting space and I say, how can I help to improve some of these things that I found out years ago? And by partnering with associations that have a great reach to employers in the food and beverage space, and companies like the Women's Food Service Forum, whose mission it is to elevate the women in the food service space, working at restaurants or food companies that supply to restaurants or distribute for restaurants, it's elevating them to the C-suite level and the executive level. That's exciting to me. So Kinsa Group actually hosted their online career center for a number of years and attended their events to be, you know, that industry expert on how do you develop yourself, how do you keep on top of managing your career. I actually speak at a few events for the Food Executive Women in Chicago, and their mission, you know, is similar to help each other network to elevate your career in a variety of food related companies. And, you know, one of the key things is really keeping an eye on your career, managing it, speaking up, asking for those promotions, and being ready for them when that opportunity comes calling. And I'm just passionate. I always have been passionate about it. So I love to give back when I have that opportunity.
We are going to take a real quick break. But when we get back, I want to ask Lori what the one piece of advice that she got that has always stuck with her throughout these years. It's all coming up on The Secrets of Staffing Success.
Hi, this is Brad Smith, Director of SEO and Social Media here at Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing companies, you might be having a challenge with recruiting. You probably spend tens of thousands of dollars on recruitment marketing, all to drive candidates to your website. But what happens if they don't apply the first time? We did a research study and found that candidates coming back to your website a second, third, or fourth time are 2 to 3 times more likely to apply for a position than first-time visitors. With Haley Marketing's re-recruiting program, we tag visitors to your website and continually show them ads to get them back to your website and drive more applications, drive more conversions, and make those recruiting dollars more effective. For more information about re-recruiting, contact us today at 888-696-2900.
Welcome back to The Secrets of Staffing Success. We're speaking with Lori Heilberg from the Kinsa Group. And if you can think back to when, you know, you were starting off, what's the best piece of advice that you got early on in your career?
You know, that's a tough one. I have gotten some great advice. As I mentioned, my mentor in recruiting who founded this company, he was, you know, more in observation than in actual him telling me his advice. I observed how authentic he was in relationship building, and I could see from people who would call our office, and I would be talking to them, and they'd say, "Oh, how's Chuck doing?" And tell him I said hi, and I'm, you know, he had created a relationship with so many people over the years of his recruiting, and I wanted to mimic that. So I try to be authentic in my communication, honest and open. It goes along with our company's core values, operating with integrity. And whether I have a job for someone when they contact Kinsa Group looking for a job, or whether I have the capability of helping this company fill their open job need, I want to communicate honestly about what our services are and how I can help. And if I can help, what other resources can I offer them to be helpful? Because I think it's strengthening the connections and the relationships that I have in the industry. So the next time they think about Kinsa, they want to refer someone they know to me.
Hmm. Do you have a favorite success story from your years in recruiting?
I don't. That's hard to pick.
Well, you know, what's I guess let's phrase it this way. You know, what's the most fulfilling part of your job?
I really enjoy knowing that my team of recruiters here at Kinsa have helped to better the lives of the professional talent we are placing. And then in turn, they're helping those companies grow and succeed in their mission. And most of the overarching mission of the food and beverage industry, you know, is to feed and nourish the world. Mm. We work with global companies. We work with local companies and everything in between. And they're feeding the world, which is a great mission to have. Sometimes we're working with companies at the very forefront of finding ways to feed the future generations out there in, you know, new technologies and processes and how to feed more people healthy food options. That's exciting also. So I think the mission of the food industry space is exciting to get behind, and I'm proud of it, and helping people to create a great livelihood for themselves and their families while doing that, while growing their new employer and those aspirations. It's very fulfilling.
Before we let you go, I always kind of like to ask this at the end of the interview is, you know, if you could look ahead 2-3 years down the road, where's the staffing and recruiting industry heading? You know, what will be some of the biggest challenges and what will be some of the biggest opportunities, do you think?
I know one of the challenges is continuing to keep that human connection in the recruiting process, because there is a lot of artificial intelligence and online applications and moving processes forward through technology. And that is very helpful in our day-to-day work, but it is really important that we not lose that human touch, because I think I'm a little bit smarter than some computers in recognizing fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, great recruiters can look past the A, B, and C and see the fit of a talented professional within an organization or with a certain hiring manager or within a department for this team. And that's not always something you can put down in black and white in a job description or in a qualifications or in a questionnaire. And so we have to constantly remind ourselves here at Kinsa to stay focused on that and keep the human interactions happening, so that we can champion both our client story about their open position as well as the candidate's capabilities and how those skills will transfer into success for our client employers. So it's going to be a balancing act as we look forward at how to utilize the technology to its fullest. And Kinsa tries to stay ahead of technology. We host a few different online job boards and platforms for online communication, but keeping that human touch is going to be key to remaining relevant in the future.
I love the way you phrased it, the story of the client's opening, the job opening. I just like that mentality that you have there, that it's not just, you know, a generic job posting and here's, you know, bullet points on what this job entails, but to tell the story of the job. I think that really kind of humanizes it a little bit. And I think more staffing firms kind of need to have that mentality. I really like the way you phrased that there. That was nice.
Yeah. And it is, it's something that we learned I learned from the recruiting team that I joined here, that there's the marketing platform isn't just a job description and post it out there and see who might be a fit and then call a few people and read it to them and see who might be a fit.
Yeah.
It's really got to dive into who are you working for? Who are you working with? What is that company all about? Because the food industry is a niche, but it is wide and varied, and you can find a lot of personalities that you may want to go to work for. I mean, and personalities, I mean by company stories, how they do business that work for you, and then others that just are not a match with your philosophy. And there's an ideal place for you out there. If you've got the right education and you've built the skills and you're ready to work hard, the food industry has a lot of opportunity. I hope more and more people continue to enter the food industry space, or I'm going to have a hard time filling the jobs that we have open, because I'm going to need the next generation beyond millennials to keep filling the jobs that are being vacated and opened up. And, you know, there's startups, new products that are coming all the time. And while it's exciting, it is a challenge to find people who have the right skills and are ready to go and ready to work in this space.
Absolutely. Well, if you would like to find out more about our guest Lori and Kinsa Group, you can find them at kinsa.com. It's KINSA.com. Lori, I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your secrets of staffing success, and want to wish you and your team at Kinsa just continued success through 2018 and beyond. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Todd.
My big thanks to Lori Heilberg from the Kinsa Group. One of the things that really stood out to me during our conversation was all the talk about process. And, you know, it's something that we even do at Haley Marketing. We talk a lot about our internal processes and how to improve them. And I hope that staffing firms do the same thing. You know, the Kinsa Group has a very clear process in place for all of their operations. And I want to encourage all the staffing firms listening to do that. But the one thing that made what they're doing unique is they're tailoring it to their audience. So if you are a full service staffing firm where you're doing accounting and admin, clerical and light industrial, the marketing tactics and the sales tactics for those audiences are going to be very different. And I don't think that's something that we see enough of in the staffing industry. So the way you're going to speak to and the different channels that you're going to use to attract a light industrial candidate are going to be very different from somebody who's maybe in a management position or somebody who's in accounting. Now, Kinsa Group is very specific in the food industry, but they break it up even by, the generations. We talked a lot about how they attract millennials. So there's kind of two ways that you can segment your marketing. One is by the age group or the generation that you're trying to attract, and the other is by the segment that you're trying to attract, so the industry that you're trying to hit. So I want you to keep that in mind as you're developing your marketing, that a tactic that works for one audience isn't always going to work for the same audience. So it's very important to have a tailored message, but also have a wide variety of channels that you're using. So, you know, email marketing might work for one audience. Social media marketing might work for another audience. LinkedIn might work for a different audience. So making sure that you're using a variety of tactics to get your message across. Now, you do want to make sure that you have that cohesive message. So your main message or your main branding should always be the same and always be consistent across all of your marketing and sales efforts, but you can tailor it a little bit. So the imagery or the wording that you use for different audiences, I think, is very important. So I was really glad that Lori shared those differences in how they attract different age groups and generations. I thought that was really important. And to me, that's the biggest take home from our conversation. That'll do it for this week's episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. You can find us on all the usual places: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. If you do find us on any of those platforms and you'd like to leave us a review, we would be very thankful for that. And thank you all for listening, and we will be back with another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success very soon.